Well, it's my honor to again introduce this evening Dr. David Snyder. He is the president of Baptist International Missions Incorporated, BIMI. They travel all over the country and the world, encouraging churches to have a greater part in the Great Commission. And they encourage and care for over 700 missionary families. This is my first time to really spend some time around Dr. and Mrs. Snyder, and I can tell that they are just kindred spirits. They have been a great blessing to our church during the conference, and we're so thankful for the messages that God has laid on his heart to preach to us, and I'm excited about hearing the message God has given him for tonight.
Amen. Thank you for that special. We can impact the entire world, starting by impacting our own world. And thank you for that message and song tonight. I want you to know that Barb and I have appreciated so much being here with you all in this church. And I will tell you, it's been difficult with preaching because you all listen so well. I figure I do have to stop at some point in time, and it's really hard. But it has been a joy to be here, to bring God's word. It's been a joy and a blessing to be in Texas. I had a life-changing experience today. Pastor and the church staff took us to get some Texas barbecue. And I just want you to know, it lived up to its reputation. It was exceptionally good. But I don't have to tell you that. You're from Texas, all right? You know those things. But I just want you to know, it was wonderful, and the fellowship was just as good. So we enjoyed our time very, very much. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor, for your hospitality. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to pick up where we left off last night. See if we can make it down through verse number 12. Now, while we're turning there, I do know that there are some of you out there that have this thought, and I just want to alleviate your minds and your thoughts on this. Some of you have realized that the first night, Wednesday night, I covered 3 verses. Took 30 minutes to do that. Last night, I covered 2 verses. Took 30 minutes to do that. Some of you have done the math. You realize tonight we have 7 verses to cover. I just want to make you this promise. I will not keep you any longer than what I will keep you. Okay? But I will say, buckle up, put your seat backs in the upright position, and put your tray tables up. We're going to take off and fly, all right? But I will tell you this, and I want you to think about this as we come to these verses tonight. We, in some ways, turn a corner just a little bit when we come to verse number 6 and following. Tonight, it gets very practical. And I got to tell you, I like practical. Ask my wife. I'm just probably one of the most practical people. We make a good couple because I'm practical, she's pretty. Okay, so it's a good working relationship. It comes out okay. But to be honest with you, one of the reasons I like these verses and I like the practicality of it is because I want to know the ins and outs of why I do things and how things have been set up in the Word of God. And I think this explains so well some of the things that we do when we call it faith promise giving or grace giving. So let's begin with a word of prayer. I ask the Lord's help and we'll pick up from there. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the blessings of today and the fellowship, the food, all the things that you've given to us to enjoy. And then, Lord, now tonight, the time that we've already spent here in your house and the blessing of hearing the presentations and the songs, Lord, just every aspect of it. Lord, as we come now to your word, settle our hearts, settle our minds. Lord, there's a lot of things that could distract us right now from what you have for us. Lord, help us to set those distractions aside. Lord, help us to focus on your word. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. I ask the same for myself. I ask for your help, Lord, because I cannot do this without your help. And so, Lord, please, please help us to use these next few moments in a way that will count for eternity and in a way that will glorify you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do to wit, make known to you the grace of God, his special grace, specific grace, the grace of giving, and how it was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Despite, verse number 2, the great trial of affliction that they were in, they had deep poverty, but despite that, they experienced joy And they also experienced the blessings of the Lord as this abounded under the riches of their liberality. They gave, verse number 3, first of all, sacrificially. They gave to their power, but they weren't satisfied with that. They asked God, I believe, to allow them to do more. And God answered that prayer, bestowed a grace upon them, and allowed them to give beyond their power. All of this because they were willing of themselves. They wanted to do it. And it was at this point, there was one particular word I ask you to focus on. Say it with me, attitude. And that makes all the difference in the world. Last night, praying us, verse 4, with much entreaty that we'd receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were excited about giving this offering to the Apostle Paul, and this offering was just that, an offering. We start in our giving by giving God what already belongs to Him, His tithe. Then over and above the tithe, then we find out from God what He would have us to give in an offering to Him, an offering that is for missions, specifically. Verse 5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And again, we mentioned that God doesn't want one of these faith promise cards from us until He has us. That is the key. Now, here's some practical aspects. Verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Paul's talking about Titus and how somewhere in the beginning of this, he had a part in collecting this offering. We don't know much, if anything, about that. But in the end, notice there in verse 6, he said, so he would finish in you the same grace also. What grace is he talking about? The grace of giving. That's the context, is what we're talking about here. So Paul's saying, hey, you started, now we're going to finish this, and Titus is going to help with finishing this up. Therefore, verse number 7, he says, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, he said, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but in verse 7, Paul gives the church at Corinth 5 compliments. And that's a little hard to do because they were a carnal church. But he says to them, listen, you're abounding in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, your love to us. He says, keep abounding in those things. But he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. How does that apply to you and I? Well, I trust that there is an area or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 where you are abounding for the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say it's important that you abound for Him through this local church? That's what God has established. And continue to abound in those things. But as you do, see that you abound in this grace also. Why? Because as you abound in those ministries that God gives you here through this local church, that is you reaching your Jerusalem. But God said we're to go into all the world, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. How can you do that? Well, this is what God has provided for you and I, that if we will abound in this grace also, it allows us to fulfill the great commission that we have been commanded to fulfill. Now, also I'll point this out before we move to verse number 8. He said, see that ye abound in this grace also. Let me say it this way. Don't just tip God. We're to abound in this grace also. This isn't about, well, you know, I have a nickel or two left over at the end of the week. Maybe I'll mark that down. No, no, no. See that ye abound in this grace also. But just so you know, for the record, I'm not going to skip verse number 8. You've noticed I've been working my way down through here, and I'm not skipping verse number 8. You look at it with me. Verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment. What's that mean? It means you don't have to do it. Can I also point out here, that's one of the things that distinguishes this from the tithe. The tithe is just a simple command that we're to obey, but this is not a command. You don't have to do it. Now, as I said, I'm not going to skip anything, so let's finish the verse. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Paul says, this is not something that you have to do, but before you make the decision to not be involved in this offering, he says there's a couple of things that you need to consider. Number one, the occasion of the forwardness of others. What's that? The example of others. Who's that? The churches at Macedonia. They're in a great trial of affliction. They're in deep poverty. Church at Corinth, you are not experiencing any of that. Look to their example and see what God's doing in and through them and the grace that He's bestowing upon them. And Church of Corinth, don't you want that as well? But he says also, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, I think that if I went around the auditorium tonight and I asked each one of you individually, do you love the Lord? 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 I think and I assume that everyone would say, yes, I love the Lord. And can I say, it's good for us to say and to praise the Lord with our mouth, but sometimes it's a whole nother thing to prove the sincerity of our love by our actions. And you know, this gives us an opportunity to prove the sincerity of our love. You see, if I told my wife over and over again, I love you, sweetheart, I love you. I love you, babe, I love you. And even brought her some tulips, you know, every now and then. But if I never put a roof over her head, never provided food for her, clothing, all of those things, there would be a point where she would come to me and say, okay, Buster, we gotta talk. You keep saying that you love me with your mouth, but you're not proving it with your actions. I wonder how often God in heaven says, I hear what you're saying, but I'm looking for you to prove the sincerity of your love. You've heard the expression before that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Jesus says it this way, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our treasure and our heart are inseparably linked. Let me give it to you this way. Generally speaking, the things that we love the most are the things that we will spend the most money on. Our heart and our treasure, they're linked. And generally speaking, the things that we love the least are the things that we will spend the least on, or maybe nothing on. With that being the case, let me ask you to do this in your own mind tonight. When you look at your finances, when you look at your budget, what do you spend the most money on? What's the second thing on that list you spend the second most on, then the third most, and make that little list in your mind. And then here's what I want to ask you to answer for yourself. Where is God on that list? Are we willing to prove the sincerity of our love? I don't know about you. I don't want to miss out on an opportunity to say by my actions, by my giving, God, I love you. What an opportunity. And, you know, just in case that's not enough for us, verse number 9, it should do it for us. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Can I say it this way? Verse 9 is the ultimate example of grace giving. Jesus Christ himself. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich. He was in heaven. And he left heaven to come to this earth. Why? For us. For the world. What an amazing thing to think about. How can we not do everything possible to tell a lost world about what Jesus Christ did for us and the grace of Jesus Christ that is available to them if they'll just receive him as their personal Savior? Wow. Now, verse number 10, Paul says, and herein I give my advice. We know he's a good preacher because he's going to give some biblical advice here. He says, for this is expedient for you. It's expedient for you. Let me just clarify this. He's not saying here, this is expedient for the recipient or the missionaries. He's saying this is expedient for you, those who are giving. Now, obviously, it is expedient for the missionaries. I don't know if you know this or not, but missionaries like to eat. You know, there are grocery bills, you know, things like that. So it is expedient for the missionary. But that's not what Paul is saying here. Here, Paul is saying this is expedient for those who are willing to give whatever God tells them to give. You say, well, all right, Brother Snyder, that sounds great. How is it expedient for me? Well, in all honesty, I have in here in my notes probably 10, maybe 11 different things, but that's a whole nother sermon, and I'm not allowed to keep you here till midnight, okay? 11:59 probably, but not midnight, all right? But can I just name two of those just very quickly? Number one, through faith promise giving, our faith is strengthened. It is tested. It is stretched. And you've heard the expression, no pain, no gain. You know what? As you give weekly, every week, God says, okay, time to stretch your faith. Are you willing to obey me? Are you willing to follow through with what I've laid on your heart? How else, what else in your life can you point to that stretches your faith in the same way and grows your faith in a consistent way like that? There's not a lot of other things, but this is one of the main things I know in my own life that helps me and grows my faith. But here's another one. Here's an amazing opportunity for you and I to lay up treasure in heaven. You know, in this old world, there's all these things that we can do as far as, you know, saving money, investing money, and all that. And, you know, we need to be wise stewards of all that God's given to us. But it is amazing to think about. I remember when I was a kid, I could go to the bank and I could put money in the bank. And eventually I get this thing called interest. Some of you remember those days? Okay. Now you put money in the bank and you get this thing called service charge because you've, you know, made a deposit. So I don't get all that. But, you know, when you talk about the bank of heaven, can I show you a deposit slip for the bank of heaven? What an opportunity. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on up ahead. It's an amazing opportunity. And can I say the interest on this, I'm sorry for the pun, but it is out of this world. It is for all eternity. And you don't ever have to worry about fire. You don't have to worry about thieves breaking through. You don't have to worry about it rusting. You don't have to worry about it ever going away. It is for all eternity. Again, I have no idea why a Christian would not want to be involved in this opportunity. This is expedient for us to be able to lay up treasure in heaven. But I need to move on. Verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. He says, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. They had begun before. You remember, it was a year prior to the writing of this that they said, yes, we're going to be involved in this. Not only to do, but he says also to be forward. That was, you're resolved, you're determined, your purpose to do it. They were actually excited about this opportunity, but they didn't follow through. And then notice he says there, a year ago. Now, can I just stop here and hit a really practical point? Because those three words, a year ago, we could probably just read them and move on. But I believe there's a couple biblical principles here that are important for us. Number one, I believe we have here the principle for having an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. Now, is everybody listening to me? Here, hold on. If you went to sleep, this time wake up. Please don't leave here and say that the preacher said that the Bible says thou shalt have an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. I didn't say that. But I said the principle is here for it. Okay? You say, how do you get that from that verse? Watch this. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul, a year after the commitment was made, writes back to them and says, I want you to think back to a year in the past, the commitment that you made to be part of this offering, and then I want you to consider what you have done over the past year to make good on that commitment. But then Paul does a second thing. He says, now I want you to think to the future, and I want you to think about what you will do as you continue on concerning this offering. Is that not what happens at the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference? Two things. Number one, hey, look back to a year ago and, you know, think about that commitment that you made. Listen, I think tonight probably we could have an amazing testimony service as we look back over the last year, how God has provided as you have stepped out by faith. And we could have an amazing time of praising God for his work in your life. But hey, at this conference, there's also a second step. What will you now do? Can I say that the need is greater now than it was 1 year ago? And the need's going to be greater if the Lord tarries 1 year from now? It's not time to sit still. It's time to move forward. What will you do? But there's also another thing here. Again, let's be practical here. A year ago, this faith promise commitment is for 1 year. You say, well, why 1 year? Aren't you glad nobody's asking for a 10-year commitment? Okay, let's just be practical. But where do we get the year from? Well, the idea, the principle is right here. And I think it's important to understand because, again, if I'm going to be involved in something like this, I want to understand this. The commitment that you're making, and the Lord knows this, and that's why I'm saying over and over again, and your pastor has said it as well, pray. Know what God wants you to do. And this commitment that you make for a year is not a commitment for 3 or 4 months until financial difficulties come. Because you know what those financial difficulties are called? They're called a test to see how faithful we're going to be. And here's another practical aspect. And I've already talked to Pastor about this, so he said, only hypothetically, your job moves you 6 months from now to some place where, I don't know, the left coast or the east coast, somewhere else. Hypothetically, what happens to this faith promise commitment? Well, it's a commitment for 1 year. So the commitment that you are making is a commitment that you are making to God himself, but through Worth Baptist Church for 1 year. So for the 6 months that you're here, obviously, give that commitment. But for the next 6 months, what do? Continue to give the commitment. Send it back. Fulfill that one-year commitment. You say, what happens after that, Brother Snyder? Well, hopefully by then you're involved in a great church that emphasizes missions, and you jump right into their missions program at that point. But again, can I show you the difference between the tithe? The tithe goes with you. So think about the practical aspect of this a year ago. Now, we come down to verse 11 and verse 12. Now, therefore, verse number 11, he says, perform the doing of it. In other words, hey, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. You said you were going to be involved. It's time to perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. These words, this part of these verses that we're going through is so important. There was a readiness to will, but there's to be a performance out of that which we have first. What's that mean? This is not waiting for God to give it to us first before we give it. It's not giving it only if God gives it to us. I'll tell you a story. I preached through this passage of scripture several years back at a church in West Virginia. And as I preached through these principles, we got to the end of the conference, and the pastor came to me and said, Brother Snyder, he says, you know, I have had preachers coming in for the last 14 years who have preached concerning faith promise that, well, if God gives it to you in some miraculous way, just put a number down and God gives it to you in a miraculous way, well, then you give it. But if God doesn't give it, then you're off the hook and you don't have to give it. And he says, I've wondered why faith promise hasn't worked the last 14 years. You see, you have to give it God's way. You got your Bibles in front of you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. You know this verse, but I want you to see it. I've walked away from my Bible. I tell people my memory is good. It's just very short, so I want you to check me on this, all right? Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. The context here, Jesus is speaking, and the context is giving. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. If I read this incorrectly, you shake your head, you say no. You say, oh me, but don't say amen, okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Here it is. After God gives it to you, oh me. What's the first word? That's where it starts. Give, and it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. What's that mean? It means you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try, but you must give it God's way. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know, can I just be practical again with you? If we were only to give it when we saw it first, that would be sight promise giving, not faith promise giving. Okay? If we only gave it when we had it first, why would we need to talk about grace giving? We don't need God's grace to give it if we see it first. We need God's grace when we don't see it, and there's a performance out of that which we already have. Again, just be practical. How does this work? Well, Barb and I, a lot of people don't know this, but even as the president and general director of BIMI, we don't get paid a salary by BIMI. We raise our support just like the rest of our missionaries do. And so every month we get a statement from BIMI. It shows all of the churches that have supported us and how much they support us for, all those things. So once a month we get that check. When we get that check, the first thing that comes out of that check is God's tithe. Why? Because it's God's. You just get out the calculator, I do the math, and by the way, God's okay if you round it up, okay? He's all right with that, with the tithe, okay? He is. So the first thing that comes out of that is God's tithe. The second thing that comes out of that check is our faith promise commitment to missions. Why? Because there's to be a performance out of that which we have. You say, what do you do after that, preacher? We pray a lot. Sometimes it seems like it's going to be more month than money, but can I give you a testimony of 36 plus years of giving God's way? God has met every single one of our needs and so many of our wants as well. Why? Because you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try, but you must do it God's way. A performance out of that which you have. Now, verse 12, we gotta wind this up. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, we talked about that the other night, he says, it is accepted. In other words, God's view or God's acceptance of our gift. It is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Let me read it again. It's accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. You know what we worry about often? Well, we worry about what we don't have. And sometimes we say things like, well, if God does this and, you know, no. It's what we have. And God, his acceptance and his view of our gift is based on what we have. I love the way God does things. Because can I say, God's acceptance and God's view is often so much different than man's view. Let me give you this illustration. Let's say that right here we have a person who's given a $50 faith promise offering. Woo! Praise the Lord. That's good. Over here we have a person and they are giving a $100 faith promise offering. Wow! Praise the Lord. The math they taught me, this one is the larger one by double. Man's viewpoint. Because you see, the thing that we don't know is that this $50 offering is given out of a $500 budget. And this $100 offering is given out of a $10,000 budget. You see what just happened? This is not the larger gift. This is the larger gift. It's not the portion, it's the proportion of what we give. George Mueller says God judges what we give by what we keep. Interesting. And you know, even Jesus teaches this principle. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus and the disciples, they're sitting in the temple and they're watching folks come and they're dropping money in the offering and a lot of them are rich. And it, you know, Jesus isn't scorning them and saying, hey, you shouldn't have brought that. No, that's it's good. They're bringing it. But it's an amazing story in that when the widow comes and she drops the two mites, that's when Jesus says to his disciples, come here, fellas, you've got a lesson to learn. She has given more than all the rest. I love the way God views this thing. And I know I say this very carefully. I know it's not a contest because it surely is not. But you understand that in God's economy, the poorest person in this church can outgive the richest person in this church. Because of God's economy and the way God sees it. I love that about my God. I love the way he sees it because he knows where I am. He knows where you are. And so what does this bring us back to? Obedience. Whatever you are, just give whatever God lays on your heart to give. God will bless you for obedient faith. Now, Wednesday night we talked about attitude and how important that is. Hope your attitude is what it should be. We talked last night about availability, and I hope that we have made ourselves once again available to him to be used by him in whatever way. What about tonight? Here is the word I want to leave with you, and I want you to think about it tonight. I want you to think about it tomorrow. And when you come in on Sunday, and it's time to fill this out, I want you to think about this word. Here it is. Action. A performance out of that which you have. It's time to take action. As God lays it on your heart, God gives you clarity. God says, this is what I would have you to do. Perform the doing of it. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? And again, would you take these next few moments? Would you talk with the Lord? Again, look at the example of the churches in Macedonia. But what a great example we've seen these last three nights. And yes, money is a big part of this because the context is about an offering, but it's so much more than just money. It's about God having us. It's about God having our hearts. It's about us saying, yes, God, my attitude's what it should be. I'm making myself available. And then as God speaks to our hearts, saying, God, I'm ready to take action, to follow through, to be obedient to whatever it is that you're laying on my heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and as the instrumentalist begins to play a hymn of invitation, would you take these next few moments, would you pray and say, God, help me to act on what you put in my heart. Maybe God hasn't clarified to you yet exactly what he would have you to give or to do. Take some time now and ask God, God, what is it that you would have? And then pray this, Lord, as you lay that on my heart, help me to follow through and to take action and be obedient to what you've laid on my heart. Listen, this altar's open. If you want to come, make this a matter of prayer, because this is not something to be entered into lightly. This is a one-year commitment that you are making to God. You're not making this commitment to pastor or the deacons. You're making this commitment to God. And you're making it through Worth Baptist Church. It's interesting, sometimes we'll sign a contract to buy a car in 6, 7, 8, 10 years, and we don't even think twice about it. 30 years for a house, but all of a sudden we're asked to make a one-year commitment to missions, and boy, all of a sudden it changes. Wow. Let's think about this. Let's pray about this. And let's ask God to help us to act on whatever it is he lays on our hearts. As you take this time to pray, please consider the example of the churches in Macedonia. In a moment, Pastor will come and he'll close out the invitation as God directs him. Until he does, you take this time and you talk with the Lord.